Here's what's amazing to me. It's almost mind-blowing, and I'm trying to stand off to the side this morning because I think given the option of staring at Pastor Devin versus staring at a Harley, it's no comparison, so I'm just the voice. This is amazing to me, really. I mean this. This was loaned to us generously by the Harley-Davidson Calumet dealership. So right up the road in Munster. If you frequent there, or you frequently pass by there, I really would love it just if you had 5 minutes to stop in and say thank you. There was no charge for this. They brought a ramp in. They made sure it was clean ahead of time. They put it exactly where I wanted on stage. They let me do laps around the church in it. It was, seriously, when the sermon's over today, I'm riding out, so don't get in the aisle right away. But the Harley-Davidson dealership on Calumet, they let us use this beauty, and I promised I'd tell you what it is. And this is what they sent me, because I know almost nothing about motorcycles. It's a 2015 model number FLSTN103 Harley-Davidson Softail Deluxe. There you have it. They sent that not in time for me to put that in the bulletin, but again, just to recognize what an incredible thing they've done. So if any of you have a motorcycle, have had a motorcycle, know a thing or two about motorcycles, you know that there are maintenance items that you need to do beyond what you do for an automobile. You know that you have, well, regular oil changes that are important, and you have to maintain the tires, but did you know motorcycle tires typically cost more than car tires? And you have to keep the gas full and the oil changed and all of that, make sure the brakes are serviced regularly, but beyond that, if you want a beautiful Harley-Davidson like this one or whatever motorcycle you have to have a battery tender, or you can take the battery out before winter and then put it back in the spring. You have to make sure the gas tank, and some motorcycles have a reserve tank, that they are fully fueled and they have fresh fuel in them, that it doesn't set over the winter or between rides. You have to lube the chain every 4,000 to 6,000 miles. It depends who you're listening to on that. Get the handlebars balanced and leveled yearly. Make sure the bike, it's especially important to make sure the bike is clean. And by the way, you have to purchase riding gear. And then before you ride, you should make sure that riding gear is in good shape. There's a lot of maintenance that goes into a motorcycle like this one, or again, whatever motorcycle you have. And I bring that up this morning because that is just the metaphor to help us talk about maintenance. There are things in life that we need to maintain. And if there are things that you value, you want to maintain them. So this sermon is to introduce the idea of maintenance. We have a word that we like to use in the church. Outside of the church, it means almost nothing. We say stewardship. I'm trying to switch our gears up a little bit. Maintenance. Okay? Stewardship is the idea that God has given things to us. God wants us to take care of those things. Maintenance, we have things that we enjoy, that we value, and we need to take care of those. So what typically happens when you've purchased this beautiful Harley-Davidson FLSTN103 2015 Softail Deluxe? What typically happens when you purchase that? You get real excited about it. You can't wait. Boy, you're going to rev the engine in your drive so that your neighbors have to notice, right? You're going to take it on a short ride, on a day where it's not raining, on roads that have been redone recently so that they're clean, so that you don't put too much wear on it, and you're going to hope people notice. You're going to sit and stare at it, and you're going to go inside to make dinner, and you're going to run back out and stare at it some more. And your wife's going to say, hey, you need to be doing, and you're going to be like, yeah, I'm having a moment with the Harley here. And you're thrilled because it looks like that. It's new. It's beautiful. You just got it. But let's be real, what happens over time? Well, you notice several months down the road, there's like an oil spot under it in the garage, and you think, oh, how'd that happen? I'm going to have to take care of that. And you forget to have the chain oil, and you take it in and get it serviced, and okay, well, that's a part of it. And you're riding, and you notice that you're kind of doing one of these down the road instead of nice and smooth, and you start thinking, whoa, I missed getting new tires by a long shot. I really should have looked into that. And you go out one day, and you see this in the garage, and it doesn't look like that. In fact, it's got mud underneath. There's a piece of gravel stuck somewhere. You didn't know gravel could even stick on it. You want to sit on it, but you have to wipe 3 layers of dust off before you do. And what happened? You forgot to maintain it. Listen, don't try and tell me if I had that, I'd maintain it. And don't try and turn, guys, don't try and turn to your wives and say, if I had that, I'd maintain it. Because although we like to think that and we're excited at first, we forget. Nobody would intentionally just let that go. But we do this with things. So in case I'm being too male-centric here, let's talk about ladies. Sometimes you say, it's time for a little bit of a freshener-upper in the kitchen. I think it'd be nice if I had a new cupboard. And the new cupboard becomes all new cupboards. And the new cupboards become new countertops because the cupboards look ridiculous unless there's a new countertop. And a new sink. And a new, and it expands from there. And you have this beautiful new kitchen before you know it that you value and you've thrown yourself into. And what happens over time? Okay, we can blame it on the kids if you want. I know I do. But... but it starts to look just as worn and just as dirty and just as run down as anything else. Or throw in whatever it is. Your new car. Bill, you could probably tell us about that. Maybe it's the new computer you got. There are things in our lives that we would so much love to have, or we do love that we have them, but over time, we forget to do something on them, and that something is maintenance. And instead of looking like that, instead of being the new kitchen, it becomes the same old, because we forget to tend to these things. And it's not just the stuff in our lives. If I'm going to talk about God, I'm going to talk about the really meaningful things in our lives. We forget to tend to our relationships with our family. We forget to do maintenance on our relationship with God. We forget to take care of all the things that God has given us, though God says, here is a beautiful gift that I have given you. And at first, whatever it is, we're excited. We're like, oh, I thank God for this. Maybe you've done that the day of your marriage, or the day you had that child, or the day you first got your Harley, or your first video game system. I'm not judging. Whatever it is. And you're like, thank God for this incredible gift. And over time, you would never intentionally hurt it, but you forget to do maintenance on it. You're not being a good steward of it. You're not taking care of what God's given you. So, here's my vow to you, and you're like, oh yeah, I knew that already, but I'm going to make good on this, okay? I'm not going to teach you anything new this sermon series. See, there it is. All of you are like, yeah, we can count on you for that. I'm just going to remind you of maybe some areas in your life that you need to maintain. Maybe some steps that you need to do that you've forgotten. But they're important for maintenance. And I'm going to start this morning talking about you. Sometimes we forget, just as Nancy was sharing with the children, to maintain ourselves. It's really, really easy. A life of value requires regular maintenance. Maintenance requires intention and effort. Oh, it was the last word. You're like, blah, blah, blah. He said effort. Oh! Listen, that's the reality, isn't it? Caring for stuff, caring for ourselves, it takes effort. It doesn't just happen. And just like we would never intentionally ruin something that we think is good and valuable, we would never intentionally hurt ourselves, but we don't put in the effort of doing maintenance on our lives. And so as I begin, I want to talk about that this morning. How do we take care of ourselves? Because the things that we do not maintain in our lives inevitably break down. That's true, right? If you've ever had to take your car into a shop, 99 times out of 100, it's not from the accident. It's from the routine maintenance that needed to be done. The things that we don't maintain in our lives inevitably break down, and so what happens if we don't care for ourselves? We inevitably... Wow, that was a profound statement I just heard. But we inevitably will break down if we're not taking care of ourselves. Even the writer of Ecclesiastes, and this just cracked me up, when I was researching this series, I found this passage. I'm like, is that a real passage? I need to go find it somewhere else. And guess what? It was out there on the interweb, and I found it, so it has to be true. But the writer of Ecclesiastes says this. Listen to this. It's perfect. Through laziness, the rafters of the house sag. Because of idle hands, the house leaks. Boom! The writer of Ecclesiastes, one of the books in our Bible, even recognizes it's that we fail to do things, and that's why things break down. Don't let that thing be you. Don't fail to take care of you so that you begin to break down. So, here's the important shift in the sermon. Applying that to ourselves. There are a lot of ways I can say you need to take care of yourself. Everybody brush your teeth this morning? Everybody put deodorant on? I did, so someone can stand next to me this morning. Okay, everybody make sure that your shirt was prepared. Whatever. There's all sorts of self-care things you can do, right? But I want to talk about the really important things that we need to do. Many of the important things in our lives require intention and effort to maintain, and we have to do that. Nobody's going to do them for us. God cares about us maintaining ourselves, and if we don't take maintenance breaks, we will notice ourselves breaking down. And so when I talk about this, when I tell you that it's important to maintain yourself, you could ask, well, why? I thought we were to be others-focused. I thought we were to reach outside of ourselves. I thought it was not about us, but all about others and all about God. Yes, but what do they tell you on an airplane with the oxygen masks? Yes. In the event of an emergency, and it's the point that everyone on the plane begins sweating. Like, what a calming thing to say. In the unlikely event that we crash into the ocean and the plane blows up and you're on fire while drowning. I just always find that really comforting. The emergency procedure. We have to mention to you that in case that wing rips off, but okay. They have the oxygen masks and they say, in the unlikely event that we need the oxygen masks, apply your own first. Why do they say that? So that you can be selfish. Because you're number one. Because really, only you matter. No. Because if you take care of yourself, then you can help take care of others. God does want us to care about others. God does want us to reach out. God does want us to see the value in all people, not just ourselves. But if we don't take care of us, how are we ever going to take care of someone else? So that's the idea. Why do I start with taking care of us? Because then we are good to go and do the things that we need to do with others. I had a parishioner who would stop by my office now and then, and he used to say this phrase to me, and I loved it, but at the same time, I got exactly what he was saying. He'd come in and I'd say, how can I help you this morning? And just from time to time, he'd stop by and he'd want to talk things out, maybe vent, maybe get some guidance, but he'd always say to me, well, I've been swimming in my head and there's no lifeguard there to help me. I thought it was a great phrase, but he's recognizing I've let things build up to the point that I can't take care of them. I've gone too long without a little self-care. Can you help me out? And we'd talk. I'd let him vent if he needed that. I'd give him guidance on what he could do. But that recognition is what I want you to have, that if we don't take care of ourselves, there's going to be a breaking point. If all day we spend doing everything else and not focusing on us, we're going to drown. So, how do I teach this? Well, Jesus talked all the time, Jesus talked some of the time about Sabbath rest. And I've talked with you about that before, so I'm not going to go that route. Jesus taught on making sure that you take a Sabbath rest. And somebody's like, Sabbath rest? Pastor speaking mumbo jumbo. No, listen. Jesus taught about taking a day in the week that was set aside for worship and caring for yourself. But again, I hope I've said that before. I hope this is not new information. I'm not going to talk about Sabbath rest. Instead, I want to talk about not what Jesus taught, but what Jesus did. And there are many examples in the Bible that just kind of slip by and you don't notice, but Jesus took good care of himself. It says Jesus could bench about 450. No, not in that way. There are these times that we'll read a Bible story and we miss the little passing line. And so I wrote some of these down. We missed the line where young Jesus, his parents were panicked, right? It's around Christmas time we think of this, and they're coming back, and they're like, wait a minute, where's Jesus? And where was Jesus? He's like, I stopped at the porta potty. No, come on. Jesus was in the temple reading through the scriptures. He had slipped away. They had lost track of him. I don't know how you lose track of Jesus, but whatever, his parents, not mine. And they're like, where were you? We were worried. We were looking for you. And he said, didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house? And he was reading through the scriptures. Small part of the story that we normally look at is the time Jesus was lost. But he was doing that as a young child. Jesus is like, I need to maintain that faith. I need to continue growing. Think about Jesus having faith. That's pretty cool, huh? But he took care of it. Or how about this one? It says this, and you can find this in Luke, and you can find this in Matthew. Jesus went away by himself to pray. And afterwards, there's a miracle. And beforehand, there's a teaching. But that little linking sentence, Jesus went away by himself to pray. Jesus, though he was God in human form, still knew that it was necessary for that human form to talk to God. Are we any better than Jesus? Jesus went up on the mountainside to be alone with God. Jesus again stepped away, and we find that he was doing something amazing with a crowd. I don't remember that particular instance what it was, but he was teaching in a powerful way, or he was healing them of diseases, or whatever it was, and felt the need to slip away alone and go up a mountainside to like get away from the people, to tend to himself. Just these things that happen in Scripture, again, you might not notice. It says, Jesus often sought out quiet places. When's the last time you were in a quiet place? You're like, if you'd shut up, I would be. No, when's the last time you were in a quiet place? When's the last time you're like, I need to sit and take like an assessment of my life? Maybe listen to what God is saying. Or this is one of my favorites. I read this and I passed it by and I read the rest of the story and then I came back to it. Listen to this one. There's the time that Jesus calmed the storm. He got up and he spoke to the wind and he spoke to the waves. And he's like, be still, calm down, everybody shut up. And the storm stopped. We read that. What we miss is before that happened, Jesus was sleeping on the boat. Jesus had just got done with one of the largest crowds that gathered around him, and he went out with his disciples, and they're like, we're going to die! Oh, there's a storm, and we're at sea! We're all going to die! Jesus doesn't care about us. Jesus cared a lot about them, and he came up, and he rebuked the wind and the waves, and he said, you have little faith. I was napping. Jesus took time to rest himself. It's all these little transitional passages, and I didn't write like the 83 that are in Scripture. I didn't share them all with you this morning. And it's not important which one of those you remember. But what's important to me is that you do remember Jesus made time to care for himself. And how are we any different? How are we any better? 1 Timothy 4:7 says this, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales, but train yourself to be godly. Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for this life and the life to come. Godly. When they use that in Timothy, the word is to be set apart and know the ways of God. It says more important than anything you do to take care of your well-being in this life is making sure that your soul, that thing that is eternal, that some part of you that connects to God is being tended to also. Listen, look both ways before you cross the street. Brush your teeth. Make sure that you're active. Eat a balanced diet. All of those. There are plenty of people out in the world that will tell you to do that, and they're not wrong. Part of a balanced diet is deep dish pizza. I'm going to throw that out there. But there are not many people telling you to take care of the part of you that is connected to God. Because if you don't, what happens? It springs a leak. And some of you would say, well, I'm just not getting that joy out of my relationship with God. And I'd say, sure you are. You're just not tending to that relationship. You'd say, you know, I just don't know if Jesus is making a difference in my life. Well, he'd love to. You're not listening. You know, I just haven't been inspired recently in my faith. Well, I'd love to know. Please inspire me with what you've done to help cultivate your faith. If that sounds harsh, forgive me. But we do not do a good job of tending to the spiritual part of our lives, and we need to. Because the things that we don't maintain break down over time. And that includes that part of you that relates to God. So here's what I have for you, and you can all be excited. I have something I like to call homework. Yay! My daughters are smiling right now. They're like, I get homework on Sundays. Where's Pastor Everdad? I have homework for you. Here's what I want you to do. I am done preaching. I want you to do this. Okay? So get out your phones, make a note, get your tablets, scribble on a piece of paper, write in the hymnal. Don't write in the hymnals. You'll go to hell. Okay, just write this down somewhere. Make a note. I want you to do this. This is, stop eye contact and do, okay? Listen, what is it that you're into? Let's start with that. Maybe you're like, I'm stealing that Harley afterwards. No, you're not. The church is going to pay for anything that happens to that. Okay, maybe you're into Harleys. Maybe you're into computers. Maybe you're into, I don't know, what do you collect? China. Or it could be like, it could be anything. What do you collect? What are you into? Just, I don't care. It does not matter. But you're doing this. Mark it down. Maybe you're into cars. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Maybe you're into the Bears. Pray. Listen, whatever it is that you like, that you have, what do you need to do to maintain it? I want you to go home and write out the steps. Uh-huh. Here's where I've got you. What have you failed to do to maintain that thing? So if you're really into cars and you're like, it's been 153,000 miles since an oil change. Boom! Okay? What are you into? What do you have to do to maintain that? What have you forgotten? Maybe you've gotten behind on doing maintenance for it. Fair enough, right? We got that? Write it down. Do it. Okay, second part, possibly more important than the first. So stick with me, but yet write this down. John Wesley used to have a question that he would require of all the people in his little congregations to answer. They had to ask this weekly and answer it. How is it with your soul? Now, when I get together with other clergy and they ask that question, I vomit. Because I know that these aren't the people I interact with regularly enough. Sometimes we go to a conference and they're like, ask each other how it is with your soul. And person A doesn't give a rip about who I am. They're like, how is it with your soul? I'm fine. But I'm asking you this from a genuine place of I want you to take care of yourself. The question, how is it with your soul, is the question, how are you doing? And not just, how are you? Fine. How are you doing? How is your relationship with God? If you say, it's great, but I just wish I had a small group to study with, I got you! There's a sign out there. Grab a ticket, look up something that interests you, and study with us, please. Please, join a small group. But seriously, if you would say, you know, taking an honest inventory, how is it with my soul? How am I doing? I haven't talked to God in a long time. Talk to God. You'd say, I'm doing okay, but you keep bringing up topics and I don't understand them. Are those really out there? Check your Bibles. Or you'd say, I've been so busy. I've been moving this way and that way. I've been here, I've been there, and I really feel like I need some time with my friends. Oh, cool. Friends are important. Friends are great to have. Friends are gifts from God. There's a lady that wrote a book called Breaking Busy. And she noted that even Jesus made time for friends. In particular, one of them, Lazarus, well, he had to bring him back from the dead to hang out with him, but Jesus made time to be with friends. And again, it's those little things that are said in transit. Jesus spent time with his disciples and the people that he ministered to, and he hung out with people. Maybe you're saying, I haven't spent time with friends. Listen, I'm not going to go through all the examples. I want you to talk about the things that you have. What do you need to do to maintain them? What have you missed? I want you to do that with your life. Seriously. I care enough about you, and I mean that. My brand is Hope People. My people that go out and do the work of ministry. I'm happy that you're here this morning, but I want you to be well all the time. What do you need to maintain about you? What have you overlooked? What might be at risk of breaking down? How can you remedy that? Those are my questions for you. God wants us to take care of the things he's given us. We should be one of those prioritized things. The things that we don't take care of, will break down if we don't maintain them. Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, that you care so incredibly much for us, more than we can ever know or understand. Thank you, God, that you want what's best for us. God, that you want us to be whole and well and functioning and to help others. Thank you, God, that you know us intimately and you created us intricately. Please, God, motivate us. Help us to be aware. God, let us take care of ourselves and bind us to you, knowing that you want everything that is good for us and that you have a plan and a purpose for us. Help us to take care of ourselves that we may know you well and function well for you and give back even if just a portion of all that you've given to us. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.